Marty, speaking of profit, and we've been talking about brush fires. I just have one more question. You and I were talking about how World War III would look like more like a bunch of brush fires than one big giant war with one big giant enemy. And so I don't know if this is World War III or if we're on the brink of something bigger, but there's no denying there's a lot of geopolitical tension. And I know that you were talking a little bit about your computer models and looking at the way money was flowing and going. I don't know if this is related to the economic confidence model that you have. I don't know if you see those things intertwining, but how much of what we're seeing geopolitically is coming as a result of the economic distortion, if you will?
We've run correlations, I mean, hundreds of years, and it's very simple. War does not come when everybody's fat and happy. When you have a recession and decline, that's when war comes. Okay. And look, you got World War II coming out of the Depression, to get everybody, create them jobs and things of that nature. That's just simply the way it goes. All right. The two models, the ECM is a global business cycle model. That shows that we are in an economic decline, and it should accelerate from 26 into 28, which should be probably the major low globally. As we said, Italy's at 0.5, Germany's at zero. I mean, this is terrible. I mean, absolutely abysmal. You got problems in Japan. U.S. is the last one standing. All right. And then, back in the early 80s, I started because we were probably the first in foreign exchange forecasting. They just started, the currencies just began trading in futures in 72. And I got called into the very first thing because nobody understood hedging, nothing back then. So I got called into Franklin National Bank, which failed in 74. It was the first bank that went down because of foreign exchange. And that's the bank that started MasterCard. So I think they were the 10th largest at the time. So after that, I got basically get the guy that did that one sort of thing, because they didn't teach this stuff in Harvard or anybody. It just started.
No.
And then I got a call from Lebanon, the Central Bank of Lebanon, and they asked us if they found a ledger with prices back into the mid-19th century, and could we create a model in their currency? I said, sure, send it over. We'll be glad to put it in. I put it in, and I thought there was something wrong with the data. And I called them. I said, look, this is, not good. It says your country is going to fall apart in 8 days. And very calmly, they said, well, what currency does it recommend? Which I thought, what?
Interesting. Did you hear what I said?
Says the Swiss franc. They said, thank you very much. And 8 days later, the Civil War began. So what it showed
Interesting.
me that they saw the money moving in advance. So they knew what was coming.
Yeah.
They only came in for the timing.
Yeah.
And the same thing, I had a client in Saudi Arabia, which was one of the biggest shippers in the Gulf. And he calls and says, Iraq's going to start attacking shipping in the Gulf tomorrow. What do you think gold's going to do? I said, you tell me a war is going to start tomorrow? So by 98, I had stood up in our conference in London in June, and I said, Russia's going to collapse. I give it about 30 days. That became the long-term capital management collapse. And I got blamed for that mainly because the London Financial Times had snuck in the room and put it on the front page. Armstrong says Russia's going to collapse.
And they blamed it on you.
If I hadn't said it, it wouldn't have happened, which is bullshit. But But what I've learned over the years is that somebody always knows.
Yeah.
In the case of Russia, we saw $100 billion going in, but we saw $150 billion coming out.
Yeah.
And so over the years, I've seen it. We track it. The Hamas attack of October 7th, all the defense stocks started moving a week in advance. The SEC used our stuff on 9/11. They went to go look who bought puts on airlines a few days in advance, you know. And what you find is like all the terrorist attacks, hey, if we can make some money out of it to fund the next one, they do it. So that's what I've learned over the years. When I created this computer, it wasn't to predict war, you know. Just tracking capital flows, and then all the stuff that's come out of it has been very, very interesting. And it's, you know, people ask me about, you know, we were the first to create an AI system. And I said, AI can't do something and discover it by itself. It can, you know, chat GPT. It can tell you what Lady Gaga's dog's name is. All right. But it's not going to come up and say something brand new. IBM spent $4 billion in creating Watson. It was going to cure cancer. They sold it for scrap. You know, it's great for research, things of that nature, but it can't create something new. And like I said, I created this computer. I didn't intend to forecast war.
Yeah.
Shit happens. Same thing. You know, the guy discovered by mistake. You know, but discoveries are by mistake.
But now they come to you, right? For game theories and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Because our computer's got a 50-year track record. So it's the longest thing out there. And we have you know, so many central banks and governments, and I mean, everybody looks at it because it's impartial.
Yeah.
It's not my opinion. And it covers the entire world. So the computer writes all by itself a report on over 1,000 instruments every day. So once you understand the system and how to use it, then you can. Let me see what's going on in India. Oh, let's look at Bangladesh. What about Romania? You can then see that's the reason we're the biggest. Because if an institution, you know, has a global portfolio, okay, I want to invest in India. Well, I got to get the best guy that does that. His methodology is going to be different than somebody in another country, then how do I reconcile all this, you know?
Right.
Whereas the computer is the same system globally, and it will reconcile it very easily. So,
Marty, can you tell us, thank you for your insights. I really do appreciate your time, and I learned from you. It's fascinating stuff.
Hey, guys, Andy here. If you like this clip, please click in the show notes below to get the full interview or in the link in the discussion to get the full interview. We launched NRS World recently, and if you want to be a part of that community, please feel free to subscribe. It'll help us grow the channel to get you the best geopolitical guests that we can come up with, and to help you stay informed. See you over there.